John chapter 14. We continue our study today on a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And knowing Jesus being the requirement of that deeper relationship, the more you know someone, the stronger your relationship becomes. Today we look at a vital part of our relationship with Jesus, and that vital part is the person of the Holy Spirit. Will you stand with me as you read from the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. Jesus speaking here says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you today, praying for your guidance as we look at this portion of your word. Speak to every heart, Lord. Convict of sin. Draw all to you. Father, I pray that your will be done. This is your service. We commit and commend this service into your hands. And now, Lord, move as it pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Subject of the Holy Spirit. You know, I think most Christians today just do not get the idea or the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're addressing the Holy Spirit today. The Holy Spirit is not a feeling. Okay? The Holy Spirit is not something that happens only in church. The Holy Spirit is third part of the Trinity. He is a being. And He is so very, very real. Today, I want your attention for just a few moments so that we can understand why Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, or first of all, point number one, the Holy Spirit desires a home, not a hotel. But just think about that statement for a moment. The Holy Spirit desires a home, not a hotel. Jesus started here with a statement, "If you love me, keep my commandments." The truth is, plain and simple, Jesus said what he means. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And that being true, the opposite is also true. If you do not keep the commandments of Jesus, you do not love Jesus. I'm going to say that again. If you do not keep the commandments of Jesus, you do not love Jesus. That's what we're saying here. Now, the question is, why did Jesus make such a statement before going into explaining and talking about the Holy Spirit? This is the reason. You are a vessel. A vessel of which it is appropriate for the Holy Spirit to live in. That's the first thing you need to understand, that as a saved person, the Holy Spirit moved inside you and lives inside you. Not on Sunday when you show up at church. He's not a part-time Holy Spirit that comes Wednesday night for Bible study. The Holy Spirit lives within you 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Therefore, Jesus is saying you should be the appropriate vessel in which my Holy Spirit resides. Have you ever went to a hotel? You're traveling on a trip, and you arrive at that hotel and you walk into that room and you say, I'm not staying here. Uh-uh. This is a dump. Or the room stinks. Or it's in a bad part of town. Whatever the reason, you look and no. I need a tetanus shot to stay here. We've all seen those rooms, right? My question to you is this. If you are the residence of the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit see within you as He resides there? Does He approach you like that dirty hotel room? And say, ugh. That's why Jesus says, keep my commandments. So that you can be that vessel of which the Holy Spirit lives, that can be in tune through the power of the Holy Spirit, be in tune with Jesus Christ. So that you don't grieve the Spirit. So that you do not oppress the Spirit or quench the Spirit. Are you that kind of home where the Holy Spirit has said, yes, I'm glad to live inside you? See, that's the first thing you have to understand about the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. In you. And number two, the Holy Spirit desires a focus, not a feeling. Now, as the Holy Spirit resides in you, something changes, or should change. That change should be a new focus toward Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'll ask the Father and He will send you another helper. That word helper is one called alongside of. Or one appearing on behalf of another. Here's what you need to understand, an important point. The Holy Spirit is not appearing on your behalf. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit is not appearing or within you, living within you, on your behalf. The Holy Spirit is living within you on behalf of Jesus Christ. That's the reason He's there. To teach you, to guide you, and to direct you in the things concerning our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's God's representative within you. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot understand Jesus. You cannot understand the direction. You cannot understand the desire. You cannot understand the love. But because the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and guides you, the Bible means something special to you. Have you ever heard lost people say, I just don't get the Bible? There's a reason. God's Word requires the guidance of God's Spirit to understand. You see, Jesus is leaving His disciples. He's going to be crucified. And He's just shared with the first part, in the first part of this chapter, He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you to Myself, that where I am there you may be also. Jesus is saying, I'm going. Here He's saying, even though I'm going, I'm not leaving you by yourself. I'm going to send the Helper. The idea behind that Helper is someone dwelling within you to help you live a life that will honor and glorify Jesus Christ. Now, I keep emphasizing that because most people think that the Holy Spirit is all about feeling. And the generation today, I love you, but we just, They want that warm and fuzzy feeling that you can get from a really sad song. Oh, listen. I get warm and fuzzy feelings a lot. That doesn't mean the spirit is behind it. I know some artists who are not Christian artists. But let's be real. James Taylor is just a great artist. If you don't think so, you don't know music. I'm sorry. I listen to his stuff and I think, ooh, it just relaxes me. Just makes me happy. I don't, has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Nothing. You can come into church and you can be entertained. You can hear a really good special and song. And you can walk out and say, boy, I feel better. That doesn't mean that you've had a spiritual experience. It means you've had an emotional experience. You can come into the house of God and you can run up and down the aisles and around the building and fall out in the floor. That does not mean you've had a spiritual experience. The same sort of behavior goes on at a really good football game. Does it not? More than once, I've ran around and jumped up and down and hollered watching the Hogs play ball. Well, last night, as a matter of fact. My point being this. I'm not downplaying the feeling of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to understand, okay? Feeling is a byproduct of the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something you should strive for as an indication we got the Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit is inside you as a child of God, not to make you feel warm and fuzzy, but to instruct you and to guide you in knowing Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the point there. Verse 17 calls Him the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit desires truth, not fiction. He is the Spirit of truth. And give you a definition. That means the way things really are. Holy Spirit doesn't want to see a movie. He doesn't want to read a fictional book. Not throwing stones at fictional books or movies. Okay? But as He lives within you, the Holy Spirit sees you as you really are. Not as you want to think yourself a being, but as you really are. So the first thing you have to understand is if you're going to go into that deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to have to be truthful. I mean, so many people want to play church. We put on our Sunday best, come to church, show up and say, "Whoa, that was good." Go home and forget to the next week. Something's missing. Something is missing. What is it? Well, it starts with truth of who we are. Of our relationship with Jesus. See, that's something that most people do not want to admit. Second part about truth, you have to understand, we're talking about truth that Jesus is the Son of God and no one comes to the Father except by Him. It's interesting that Jesus said, "Is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive." You see, as a child of God and the Holy Spirit of truth resides within you, you can accept the truth of the Word of God. This is God's truth. It is without error. God meant what He said, and He said what He meant. It is not to be compromised. It is the Word of God. But the problem is the world can't see or receive the truth. And the reason is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I want to tell you something. The world does not understand why you're here today. The world does not understand why you give your money and tithes and offerings. The world cannot wrap their mind around the fact that you went to Sunday morning Bible study today. You know, they don't get it. Do you get it? Absolutely, because we know the truth. Because the world can't receive it, what is happening in our age today is the world is making up its own religion, its own standard of morality, its own right and wrong. Therefore, we are seeing a society that's led by Marxists and socialism being their agenda of the day. And it's this mentality that's sweeping our nation. Men are creating their own religion. I want to tell you something about socialism. It's been tried before. It never has worked. Okay? I know it's being taught in our colleges. It's being pushed by a lot of people. I'm not going to name names. But anyway. Do you know why it does not work? Because it's man's idea of justice. And it completely excludes God out of the picture. I want to tell you what goes on in socialism. You have two classes. You have the elite and you have the dirt poor. No in between. You see, in a socialist environment, that would mean everybody is on the same level. That means if I have $10, you have $10, and the President of the United States would have $10. No more, no less. That's the concept that they try to preach to you. But in reality, the truth of the matter is, in every socialist country in the world that has ever been and that exists today, you have the elites who are the government and you have the little guys who are the dirt poor servants paying into the government. You say, brother, how does this relate to the Holy Spirit? It's the created religion of our day. It's where we are. And you and I, please listen, are the only hope of truth that this world and this generation has. In this Marxist, socialist generation that's being pushed, the idea is to get people out of church, to remove God from society. Because after all, that's what's messed up our current country. That's what they believe. The United States is so messed up, why is everyone in the world trying to get in? Maybe I've went a little farther on this subject than I intended to go. But anyway, the point being is there's a lie out there. People are being lied to. That's why the Spirit of truth that lives within you and I must be proclaimed. Jesus is the only way of salvation. This world was not created by a big bang. It was created by a big God. There is an afterlife and you will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. The choice is yours. But there is no other way. Not found in Muhammad. It's not found in Buddha. It's not found in anything that man wants to come up with except through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That is the truth. And listen, that's the truth that God's children have to hold on to and proclaim faithfully in this society because we're the only hope this nation has right now. Then finally, number four. The Holy Spirit desires intimacy, not a roommate. He says, Jesus said He was going to send this Comforter. And He would dwell in them. Well, actually He said He would dwell with you and will be in you. Now, this was before the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit had not indwelt believers yet, but He was walking with believers. But on the day of Pentecost, that's the day the Holy Spirit moved in. And the idea there is that intimacy in the relationship. You see, this is what people want to go for from the very beginning, is the intimate side of the relationship to the Holy Spirit. And I'll stand before you today and I will tell you that intimacy is very, very real. However, you've got to start with other stuff before you get to the intimacy. You've got to be that vessel in which the Holy Spirit lives. You've got to hang on to the truth, not fiction. You've got to hang on to the fact that the Holy Spirit is inside you to declare Jesus, not to make your life more comfortable. First Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? 24/7. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You are here to be the vessel that houses the Spirit of God. And that housing the Spirit of God means that Spirit comes out through the life you live from day to day." Listen, don't get me wrong. I love church services and there are services that are very moving. But if that's your only spiritual experience, you're missing the boat. Jesus requires, or the Holy Spirit requires, intimacy. That means daily prayer, daily meditation, daily time of just sitting down and talking to the Lord. You see, the problem today is that we're kind of like that old married couple. You know, marriage is supposed to be good, right? Yeah, whatever. But you know that married couple that I'm talking about, that they share a house, but they never talk. They never spend quality time together. And as time goes by, they grow farther and farther apart. Oh, they're living in the same house. They see each other every day. But there's nothing there. And listen, I hope I'm not describing your marriage, but if I am, you need help, okay? Because that's not the way that God intended marriage to be. The Bible says, "A man shall leave his father and his mother and cling to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now listen, there's a closeness in my one fleshness, in my body. You cut off my hand, I'm going to miss my hand. I'm going to cry because it hurts. That's supposed to be the marriage relationship, that you're so close. You're so close. That you're one. That's supposed to be the relationship with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit that's living in you. Because that relationship where you share a house is not a relationship. It's existing. I fear there are too many Christians existing today. But they're not cultivating that relationship for which the Spirit has indwelt you. Yes. Yes. I want to tell you, maybe I just need to hush, but I cannot describe the peace that comes from knowing God and growing in God. But it's not a Sunday thing. I'm not taking away from Sunday. Listen, I love worship and I love seeing you here. And I love the interaction. And there's special. There's a special fellowship that occurs with corporate worship. And I don't mean to take anything away. But the Holy Spirit is not limited to church. That's what I want you to get today. You see, Jesus said in verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. The word orphans, it reflects someone that lacks support or care or supervision, such as a child with no parents. See, we're called children of God for a reason. Because we are children of God. We need supervision. You know, this weekend I have my grandkids here, and I'm very thankful for that. Glad they're here. But we have an 18-month-old sitting over there at the piano with Beth right now. And he requires supervision. You have to watch him a lot. I think the first 2 days we had blood. Busted mouth and a busted chin. You know, he's a boy. But as I watch him, you know, I've had to tell him, and boy, this is hard. I've had to tell him, no. Don't you do that. No. It's called supervision. As a child of God, I need that relationship with the Holy Spirit that when I'm somewhere I don't need to be, doing something I don't need to do, I need to be able to hear that voice of God, my Heavenly Father, saying, no, no, don't do that, you're going to hurt yourself. Don't do that, you're going to damage something. Not only do I need supervision, I need support. Because see, there are things that we can't do for ourselves. Once again, referring to my young grandson, there are things he cannot do. He cannot change his own diaper. But we know who can, don't we, Harden? He cannot prepare his own meals. He cannot do a lot of things. And so therefore, Grammy and I, when we've got him, we try to take care of doing those things for him, providing him the support that he needs. How often have you been through in the middle of something and you think, I'm not going to make it through this? Lord, this is too painful. This is too hard. Lord, I cannot do this. And the Lord comes beside you and says, I'm here. I'll give you what you need. That's the Holy Spirit living within you, providing the support that you need from day to day. You see, the key to good parenting is you do not let a child raise themselves. They need parenting. They need support. If you let them raise themselves, it's called child neglect. You don't do that. When Jesus said, "I will not leave you orphans," He said, "I will not neglect my children. But I will send you another helper." That word "another" is interesting in that it means one like the first. Okay? Another like the first. Jesus says, "I'm going to send you somebody that's just like me. He's going to be with you just like I've been with you. He's going to direct you just like I've been directing you. He's going to teach you just like I've been teaching you. As a matter of fact, it's going to be just like He, just like I'm here with you." That's what the Holy Spirit is about. He's Jesus' representative. So how do we respond to that? We learn to listen. We learn to listen to the Holy Spirit as He directs, knowing that He's not trying to ruin our lives. He's trying to take care of us. We learn that the Holy Spirit, again, is not just for church. Every day. He's every day. Bottom line, and I'm almost going to hush. Don't settle for a Holy Spirit that shows up at church. That's not the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent. Now, I'm not saying He's not in church again. But if you think church is the only place the Holy Spirit is, then boy, you've got a big hole in your life. Okay? If you are a child of God, I hope this message reminds you, walk with Him. Walk with Him. You be that vessel that the Holy Spirit can indwell with joy. I asked you in the beginning, I said, have you ever walked in that hotel room and said, "Ooh, I'm not staying here"? I want to finish with this question. Have you ever walked into that hotel room and said, "Wow, I'm staying here"? We all have, haven't we? That's what we're to be, as vessels of the Holy Spirit. Are you a child of God? Jesus died so that you could have that relationship with Him through the Holy Spirit. Now today, He's given you the opportunity by telling you that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God, and inviting you that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today, will you come to Jesus for salvation? Whatever your need is today, will you respond to the moving of God's Spirit within you? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We rejoice in knowing that the Holy Spirit is not just an emotional experience, but He is very real. And that You sent Him that we would not have to live as orphans. Thank You, Jesus. Now we pray that Your will be done during this invitation. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Would you